We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Harry, you're a hell of a man. I'll say that much. It's a pleasure to be working with you again. I never know who's coming in here on a daily basis. Yesterday, it was Horse. What did you think of the return of Horse? Were you tuned to your radio? Eagerly anticipating the return of Horse? He's the master.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I remember when I used to sit in here for him. Or not for him, but I would sit in here with him when I was preparing other shows. Nice man. I do miss him.
Wonderful man.
He was the first person to train me when I was here. So.
Was he?
Yeah.
So you have a soft spot for
I do.
Horse. Yeah. We all do around here. I thought I might have Seth Meyers today. I thought I might have Steiny. Steiny and I are on the outs.
Did you say Seth Meyers? You had Sean.
No, Sean, don't call him Seth. I call him which is why I call him Seth.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, and then there's Steiny, and him and I are on the outs. I don't think there's any question about that. In fact, if I had to pick one guy, you know, you see from time to time in sports media, these hot mic moments surface, these off the air, suddenly on the air moments surface. If that's ever going to happen to me, and if I'm going to be involved in a hot mic scandal, the man behind it will be Steiny. I'm convinced that he's been taping me, saying things perhaps off the air, maybe swearing from time to time, something, and that Steiny someday will end my career. Do you believe that, Fulzy? Harry, whatever your name is?
I don't think so. I trust Steiny.
Yeah, he's the one guy. I told you last week, after I called him out publicly and motivated him, I might add, to play better. I said he put the capital A in apathy when he was in here. He heard about it. And I thought came in and performed better. But then I saw him after the show last week driving away, and he barely acknowledged me and seemed to be very angry. Very angry, I might add.
Really?
Yeah, it was unfortunate. And there's something happening there. I'm trying to find my text exchange with Pomp Jr. from last night. Here it is. 5:51 p.m. to Steiny. You in tomorrow? No. That's it. That's all I got. No. To which I responded, thank you, Steiny. Six total words in my texts, one in his. Didn't say no, but I think so-and-so is. No add-on. Excuse me. Just a simple, flat, and perhaps angry no from Steiny.
Was there a period at the end?
What would that signify if there was or wasn't?
A period usually symbolizes disdain over text, but...
Does it?
Yeah. Yeah, usually when people are angry and they're trying to, like, make a statement, you had a period. A no is just a casual response.
I didn't know that, Harry. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I've been told, because I use proper grammar when I text, and people think I'm angry at them when I finish my sentences with periods. They're like, no, you're not supposed to do that at the end of a sentence.
Well, you have a bit of a pool of anger, I think, welled up inside you that someday is going to express itself, perhaps horribly. But in the meantime, I think you and I will get along famously here, Harry Callis.
Sure.
Harry grew up on the street that I live on now. His family lives, what would you say, Harry, 50 yards away, 100 yards away maybe?
Yeah, I could walk to your house.
Around the corner, our street is a de facto track. I mean, It's unbelievable. So we have a connection. I taught Harry at Waynesburg. Also, we discovered that Harry, like many in this city, was a junior in high school the last time the Steelers won a playoff game, which means he graduated from high school, graduated from college, and is a year and a half into his professional life And he hasn't seen the Steelers win a playoff game since when? 2016?
Yep.
That day in Canada. The best part of that is the last day the Steelers won a playoff game was the Antonio Brown Facebook Live incident. Will we someday look back on this as the AB curse, like the Babe Ruth curse or the Billy Goat in Chicago with the Cubs? Was it a Billy Goat, Harry?
Yeah,
is that
yeah.
the Billy Goat curse?
Somebody wouldn't let a Billy Goat into Wrigley Field, and then the Cubs.
Yes, they did, and it was the curse of the Billy Goat. Mm-hmm. This will be the AB curse if the Steelers don't win a playoff game for I don't know how many years. Then that's where we start today. No, we don't. We start with Doran Dickerson's sweatshirt and him blowing me off. He couldn't have even offered to go on the phone. He said he had to get a haircut. That's better than his golf excuses with me. He has an unbelievable sweatshirt on today, Doran does. Perhaps the most underrated color scheme and logo in all of sports, the Atlanta Falcons, who, by the way, have also won more playoff games than the Steelers over the past 12 years, the Falcons and the Texans. I know it's an arbitrary point in time, 12 years. Don't be unfair to the Steelers. But when the Atlanta Falcons are winning more playoff games than you over a given decade plus, I think it's a little problematic. You may not. Anyway, Doran's sweatshirt, unbelievable. I think it said Rise Up. It's red. It's a red-based sweatshirt with a black Falcon logo with white outline on the logo. It's unbelievable, Harry. And then I remembered that I liked the Falcons when I was a kid. I did. What were they called back then? They used to have incredible comebacks. The Grits Blitz, maybe? Is that what they were? Steve Bartkowski, they had a really good running back who I forget. In fact, I forget everybody. But for a couple of years there, they were really, really good and fun to watch. And they're a lovable little franchise. You know, they made it to the Super Bowl. They led Brady 28-3, and then they somehow lose. If only they had won that, Harry. Were you rooting for them that day?
Probably not. I wasn't. You mean during the Super Bowl this year?
No, when they lost to the Patriots,
sorry,
Harry.
Sorry, not this year. I meant
five years ago.
Yes, I was rooting for the Falcons. I didn't like the Patriots
with
at that
Matt
point.
Ryan before he turned 70, one of the guys the Steelers beat on their miraculous season-ending 7-2 run. The others, now that I'm on that topic, are Marcus Mariota, Andy Dalton, Sam Darnold, Tyler Huntley, and people wanted to give Tomlin Coach of the Year. He is the highest paid defense in the NFL. Aren't you supposed to beat 77-year-old Matt Ryan before he loses his job? Derek Carr, right before he loses his job? Marcus Mariota, right before he lost it? That's three guys in that of those seven wins. They face three horrible quarterbacks who are on their last legs with their current teams. Tyler Huntley, who will never be on his first legs with his current team. Who did I miss? Andy Bleepin' Dalton and Sam Darnold. And we're talking about Coach of the Year. I can't rant on that. That was last week's rant for 8 days straight. But one of the great color schemes in sports is the Atlanta Falcons. You want to talk about show opening vital topics. This is one. I mean, Doran looks incredible in this thing. Says he's friends with Arthur Smith. And I said, would you like to come on and talk about that just for a minute? Because you don't see many people in Falcon sweatshirts. That's the thing. Like many franchises, even bad ones in the NFL, are somewhat prominent. You know, you can find a friend who likes the Detroit Lions. We used to have a guy named Michael Gar here, a.k.a. Ralph Gar. He loved the Lions. I know several people who like the Lions. I know people who love the Vikings for odd reasons. Greg Giannotti used to work here. Nobody likes the Falcons. I've never met a Falcons fan, at least not outside of Atlanta. Nobody likes the Falcons. So it was jarring and enlightening. And I must say somewhat, what's the word, Harry? Enlivening. Did I just say that? To see Doran in a red Falcons sweatshirt. It really caught my attention. We had a brief conversation. I said, come on and talk about that for a minute. And he said, I have to get a haircut. And then he proceeded to stay here for an extra 10 minutes. I said, you haven't left yet. Apparently he's carrying a resentment against me. Did I tell you I'm back on coffee, Harry?
You did not.
Verona, tall today. Light cream and a coffee cake heated up. He didn't stay for 10 minutes, not even 10, or he did. He just didn't come in the studio with me. Best color scheme in all of sports. No, strike that, Harry. Most underrated color scheme in all of sports is what? I'm going to go ahead and say the Falcons. And their old jerseys, which they cranked out this year, are phenomenal. What a color scheme they are. I mean, and especially Doran. And I was interested in the connection with Arthur Smith. Used to be his tight ends coach with the Titans, Doran tells me. Doran also harboring a resentment, much like Steiny, against me. He feels like I called him in, I don't know, about a month ago to talk about the Cincinnati Pitt debacle, 45-44 from all those years ago, that I put him on the spot and blamed him for the loss, which was absolutely not the case. I mean, he didn't have a big game, but I'm not blaming him for the loss at all. I just wanted to, I don't even remember why I had him in that day. Maybe it was the anniversary. Maybe Andrew Janoco, the snapper for Pitt that day, something was going on with him. But I don't understand why Doran just couldn't come in for a minute and talk about the Falcons' color scheme. Most underrated color scheme in all of sports history, Harry, is who? What? Which team? You know another one? The St. Louis Blues. Unbelievable. Logo and scheme. Really, truly. But the Falcons are up there. I forgot what I was going to talk about. Probably Matt Canada, right? How about Sully last night? Sully lost his mind. Josh Yowie has been around the Penguins for a long, long time. Most, if not all, of the 21st century, as a matter of fact. Said he has never seen Sully so angry. I agree. I'm watching the post game last night on AT&T Sportsnet, and Sully was so pissed that his head started shaking. He was a live human bobblehead. It was unbelievable. He couldn't form words. I've been there, in here with Ron. I've been that angry, but rarely am I so angry that when I try and form a word, it doesn't come out, and all I can do is have my head bobble. That's what happened to Sully. They should have created an immediate bobblehead night with that. Remember they did with Bob Walk when he fell off the chair? That turned into a bobblehead.
It's right there. Look.
Oh, my God. It is right there. It's right to my left. Bob Walk falling out of a chair on the air became, I think, the greatest bobblehead in Pittsburgh sports history. But we need one of Sully with a red face, quivering, head bobbing. Unable to form a single word. He tried. He made multiple attempts at forming a word, and he was so mad that he couldn't. I mean, it was incredible. I'm with Josh, and I'm not around Sully ever really anymore. But I've never seen him like that in any post game ever. We should replay that at some point, Harry, but we do need to start with Matt Canada and a question now that it's official that this guy's going to be back. I sort of agree with Tim Benz in the Trib today. Like, all right, he's going to be back. Let's move forward here. He made a case for him in the second half. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with bringing him back. I don't think he's the guy that you're going to get the maximum potential out of your quarterback. I don't think he's that guy. I don't. But he did make somewhat of a case for himself in the second half, and he's here. So why bitch and moan about it anymore, right? I agree with little Benzie. You ever met Benzie, Harry?
I have not.
I'll introduce you sometime. He's very small. Smart, though. Small and smart.
I've seen him on television a few times.
Yeah. Does he appear small on TV? Some people don't. Kyle Brandt from NFL Network appears to be a big man, very strong. He is strong. Clearly works out a lot, but he's also small. When you see him in person, not tall. Does Benzie seem tall on television?
I never really thought about it.
No? Think about it next time, either way. Harry, and get back to me.
Okay.
I don't feel well. I feel like I'm melting down. I feel like something went wrong. I'm always afraid somebody slipped something into my coffee. Today could have been the day. What if I pass out, Harry?
I'll take a break, call for an ambulance, and then I guess...
That sounds reasonable.
I'll take over. Somebody will.
Back to Matt Canada. I don't think is the guy to get the most potential out of Pickett. I don't. I don't think he's going to install the kind of pass game, the kind of adult NFL pass game that competes with the great minds and quarterbacks in the AFC. I don't think so. Could be wrong. Would love to see more play action, things like that. But there is one point I want to make that I made in my column today in the Post-Gazette. You can read that at postgazette.com. For anybody who even slightly believes or entertains the notion that Matt Canada's contract status played any role whatsoever in the Steelers retaining him, that tells me that you think very, very, very little of Art Rooney and the Steelers, the Pittsburgh Steelers franchise. And granted, this franchise probably, as I wrote, has become, you know, an average to slightly above average, a garden variety NFL franchise with an inflated opinion of itself. I'll grant you that. But I would never insult them this brutally to say that basically what you're saying here is, you know what, maybe Canada's the right guy, maybe not. Maybe we even doubt him a little bit, but we're going to honor that contract. We're certainly not going to pay somebody for doing nothing. We're going to bring him back partially because he has 1 year left on his contract and we're the Steelers and we don't break contracts, or at least we don't pay people not to work. Come on. Does anybody actually believe that? I saw it written somewhere today again that this could have played a role or did play a role. Zero chance it did. None whatsoever. First of all, there's precedent. Kevin Gilbride had a year left on his deal back in 2000 when Bill Cowher suddenly realized, wait a second, my pass game under Gilbride has gone from 29th to, let me check here, 29th. Let's get rid of this guy even though he has a year left, and Dan Rooney signed off on it because he was horrible. And since then, I don't think there's been an offensive coordinator, correct me if I'm wrong, except maybe this guy who's been so bad that you would even, you know, lean hard toward, let's get rid of him. Let's fire him abjectly, you know, kick him out the door. I don't know if there's been a guy like that since then. Gilbride had to go. If somebody has to go before their contract's over, the Steelers will get rid of him. I have confidence in that, and so should you. They try to win. There's at least one other team in town that always doesn't do that or doesn't always do that. I would never, I question the Steelers on a lot of things. And clearly, if you listen to this show at all, I'm not shy at all about criticizing them. I would never, ever question their desire to win. All the time. Every year. That's tops on their priority list. Sometimes to their detriment, like this year, when going 4-13 would have clearly, with a couple of picket comebacks, sure, that would have been nice too. 4-13 would have been great for draft position. Would have given you no choice but to get rid of Canada, maybe. I mean, I'm starting to wonder about that season-ending run and if it did more damage than good around here. But that's beside the point. It's not like Art and Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan sat around in a room talking about Canada, whether he should come back, and they were sort of leaning toward, I don't know, man, I don't know if this will work. And Art stood up and said, you know what, he's got a year left on his contract. We're going to bring him back. Okay, that didn't happen. So if you hear anybody reporting, talking, saying that around town, stop them. That didn't happen. There's no way that could have happened. His contract has nothing to do with it. You know they pay players not to play, right? They had $31 million in dead cap hits this year. I'm sure they'd be okay paying Matt Canada $1 million or so not to work if they didn't think he was the guy. The scary part might be that they seem to have no doubts that he's the guy. But that's different than keeping him in even having a 0.001% connection to his contract status. It doesn't. What I want to ask you is, what's the bar now for next season? Benzie wrote about this. I don't think I insulted Benzie there, Harry, did I? I like Benzie a lot. I think it's just a fact that he's on the smallish side. You?
I don't think that's an insult.
No.
Shouldn't be offended.
Like saying someone's tall. Someone, Chris Adamski. He might be 6'4". Benzie might be 5'4". I don't know. I don't think that's an insult. And he wrote a nice column today, and I agree with him. We'll go through some of his points and see if we agree, because his overall point was, and I'll add the word mercifully, can we mercifully stop talking about whether Matt Canada should be back now? And he's coming back, okay? So now what? Now what? And let's go through some points of what the bar is. The simple question for you is, what's the minimum bar for this offense and for the Steelers overall next season? I'm going to say double-digit wins in a playoff spot is the minimum bar. I'll tell you that right now, but we can talk about it next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're talking about the bar for next season for Matt Canada, for the Steelers overall. What is it for you? One of the things that really gets me is how people talk about this offense and the young guys on it. Like, oh, they're just little pups. You're going to have to wait a long time here. You're going to have to wait a while. You know, you can't expect too much. Let's get a couple of things straight here. Let's start with a guy, and I'm not saying, for instance, Najee. I thought he had a really good year. In the end, I think he did. I think he stepped up as a leader, and he played well. What I'm objecting to is the idea that we shouldn't expect them to win right now or be a prolific offense because they're so young in so many areas. Young wins in all of sports. It should be expected now, this year, certainly next year. Start winning. Second-year quarterbacks, so what? Second-year quarterbacks win. You look at running backs. I was just looking at the rushing leaders every year, and you have to realize that Najee could very well be halfway through his most effective years. A lot of times you don't get more than 3 or 4 real good years out of a running back. That's why the position's been devalued, and this is a guy who's already been hurt in his career, who runs like a maniac, to his credit. The time to win with Najee Harris is now. It's not, oh, this offense is so young. So much time left to win. No, win now. Win next year. Look at some of these rushing leaders. And again, I thought Najee did his part for the most part this year. Todd Gurley, 4 years. Pretty much done. Ezekiel Elliott, effectiveness waned after 4 years. These are all at least one-time rushing champions in the NFL. Jonathan Taylor had 1,800 yards in year two. Running backs have their best seasons right about now. That'll be the best year of his career. He fell off by 1,000. Arian Foster, you remember him? After his first 4 years, he had one more good year. Josh Jacobs just had his greatest year in year four. He'll never match that. Remember DeMarco Murray won a rushing title? All these guys. Point being, again, not that Najee's underachieving. He's not. I thought he was really good. Point is, there's no excuse to wait around to win because guys are, quote, young. Young guys win. That's the point. Go look at hockey players. I did a study on this once. Their best year is age 23, almost to a man. Lemieux, Gretzky, Jagr, Sid, Gino. It's right around that age, the early 20s. Young men win. That's when you win your championships. Deontay Johnson, we still going to call him young? He's 26 going into year 5. That's a lifetime in the NFL. Lynn Swann was a Super Bowl champion in year two. MVP. This is when these guys are great. This is the time to strike. I don't want to hear about young. Time for it. George Pickens will be ready to take off next year, and I think he will. This is when you win. So the bar next year for me, for the Steelers, is double-digit wins and a playoff spot at the least. I mean, it's about time to win a playoff game. I think next year I would take getting there, not just sneaking in and breaking your own record and becoming the only team in football history to give up 40 points in four consecutive playoff games, right? A solid season where they challenge for the division, win double-digit games, get in the playoffs. I'm teetering on saying a playoff win would be the bar. Maybe I should say that. I mean, they're going to be one of the highest-paid defenses again. They got money to spend in free agency, just like they did this year. And they've got young talent on offense, which means time to win talent on offense. That's synonymous. Young means time to win in the NFL. So how about winning a playoff game? I mean, is that asking for too much? The bleeping Falcons, which we were talking about because of Doran Dickerson's amazing sweatshirt, have won more playoff games than the Steelers since that Super Bowl against the Packers, which was a long time ago. I mean, we were just talking about Harry Callis here to my left and how Harry was a junior in high school when the Steelers beat the Chiefs in the playoffs in 2016. He subsequently had a senior year in which he did next to nothing, graduated, went to Waynesburg where he had a stellar college life, graduated from Waynesburg, got a job at the Fan, and is now in year two at the Fan. All that has happened since the Steelers last won a playoff game. That's what gets me, is that so many people argue Steelers' exceptionalism, that they're just different and better. They argue it. You heard Tomlin argue it at his season-ending news conference. You know, with the BS quote, other teams and their BS, we don't put up with that here. We don't have to deal with that here. That's why we had that season-ending run. I've been through all this, right? Now, there are things that make the Steelers quite exceptional as far as the history of their franchise. The fan base certainly does. I mean, I'm still amazed that you can go to any city probably on the planet and you'll find Steelers fans galore, that they pack opposing stadiums. That part of it, yeah, it makes them different from others. So does their long-ago history of Super Bowl wins and all of that. I don't include the non-losing streak under the headline of Steelers exceptionalism. I don't really give a crap about it. As I've said many times on this show, if the definition of being in it, hey, we're in it every year. A lot of teams are. It's really hard not to be in it. The Denver Broncos have been in it. If the definition is still being alive for the playoffs with, you know, a couple weeks left, you still have a lot to play for. The Denver Broncos have been in 18 of 22 years. Is it really that impressive that the Steelers have been in it 19 of 19 years? 18 of 22, 19 of 19. I don't know, those 8-8 or 9-8 years. We're talking about a franchise that four of the past 5 years has won less than 10 games. Hasn't even reached double digits. And in the year where they did win double-digit games, it was smoke and mirrors, and they collapsed in historic fashion down the stretch and suffered maybe the worst playoff loss in the history of the franchise. So it's hard for me to look back on that year, and if I'm a Steeler fan, and feel enormous pride over going 12-4, but yeah, losing five of the last six and then having the Cleveland Browns without their coach and some guy named Dan in the huddle for offense put 48 on you and embarrass you at home. I don't know. If you're really exceptional, you look back on that season with anything but horror, you know? So, yes, for Canada and the offense, it's got to be in the mid-20s points per game. It's got to be way more explosive. In fact, that would be the term I would use. I want to see an explosive, high-scoring offense. Why shouldn't it be? God bless me, Harry. And for the team, double-digit wins and a playoff win. How about that? If we're so exceptional. You have the young talent to do it. You have the NFL's highest paid defense. So do it. 412-928-9370. Harry, would you like to go to a call?
Yeah, we got George from North Carolina. He thinks that the contract actually had something to play into this decision.
Then you must not think very much of the Steelers, George. Go ahead.
I don't. And the question I would ask is, and I can go back and forth with you all day long on your points you've been making, but I'll just start here. We can talk a little bit, Joe. If this was the last year of Matt Canada's contract, do you think they would have given another one?
Yes.
That's my point. That's
yeah.
part of it. You think, no, you don't. No, you don't. You don't. You're staying with your narrative. I get that.
No. Okay, no. Hold on. Jerry Dulac reported that Art Rooney and Mike Tomlin had zero doubts about Matt Canada. So if you think that the Steelers were sitting around in their offices saying, yeah, you know what, we have to factor in that he's going to be here one more year, so we might have doubts, but let's bring him back just to honor the contract, then you must really have a low opinion of Art Rooney, Tomlin, and the Steeler franchise. You must think that they prioritize honoring one year with a puny little $1 million or so over winning. That's one thing I will never doubt the Steelers on. They want to win. Obviously, you think they prioritize other things, right?
I love the angst that came in your voice, even though you've been taking shots at the Steelers for the last 2 weeks. But
never doubting their desire to win. That you taking shots in criticism is one thing. Doubting their desire to win is another. So you're mischaracterizing me, but go ahead.
No, I've been listening, and I'm a fan of yours. I've been listening, right? But listen to this. Their history shows that they don't fire coaches. They wait for Haley's contract to end. They waited for Aaron's contract to end. They wait for these guys' contract to end. They give them an extension. They could have fired these guys a year earlier. They waited for Fichtner's contract to end. He wasn't doing a good job. They give the guy an extension if you think he's good.
Randy Fichtner's team, and I'm not a Fichtner fan, averaged 27 points a game his last year here. So the year before that he had Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph. So you're right that year off, because his first year he had one of the highest scoring offenses in Steelers history, if not the highest scoring. Plus, you're wrong. There's precedent for them firing a guy going into the last year of his deal, and that was
one time 22 years ago. Go 20 years ago.
Who's the offensive coordinator since then who absolutely deserved to be fired in the middle of his contract? Name him.
Absolutely. No one absolutely.
Who? Name him. You had Wisenhunt. You had Malarkey. You had Arians. You had Haley. Which one of those guys? And Fichtner. And Fichtner. You tell me which one of those guys deserved to be fired in the middle of his contract. Tell me. Tell me which one. Tell me which one.
Canada's no different. That's what I'm saying.
Tell me which one.
I'm lumping Kennedy in with the rest of them.
No. You said I went back 20 years because that's the last guy who absolutely deserved to be fired in the middle of his contract. Tell me which offensive coordinator since then deserved to be fired in the middle of his contract. Tell me.
You're saying Kim absolutely deserved to be fired, but others don't believe that, Kate.
I think Canada should have been fired. The Steelers think that they can win with him. They didn't fire him keep him because of his contract.
I don't think they do. I don't think they do. They don't fire anybody. They don't fire anybody. They don't. And you know that. And they don't. And I don't think they're thinking we're not going to fire him because of the contract. I think it's just about the consistency. It's about we've only had three coaches in 40 years. We're consistent. We give everybody a chance. Tomlin gives his players too much rope. He keeps some guys too long.
What does that have to do with Canada? What does that have to do with Canada? Plus, they do fire coaches.
It's the philosophy of the team.
Well, you're wrong. You're wrong again. Head coaches, maybe, but their head coaches win. Here's the Steelers' offensive line coach history. You going to listen or no? Here's the Steelers' offensive line coach history. Larry Zierlein, fired. Sean Coogler, fired. Jack Bicknell Jr., fired after one season. So you're wrong about that, too, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Those are coordinators.
Right, and I already mentioned the coordinators, and you haven't told me yet. You haven't told me yet which offensive coordinator since Kevin Gilbride absolutely deserved to be fired in the middle of his contract. Which one? Pick one.
Okay, first of all, look, I'll say this. I don't remember Fichtner being that good. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I don't remember Fichtner being that good. I remember Fichtner having a very dink and dunk offense. Even when we went 12-0, we didn't adjust. So I feel like Satan did a poor job. You can give me the numbers, and I'm not going to dispute those. But no one's thinking that we were 12-0, and they were throwing the ball downfield. That Satan was doing a very good job deciding offenses. And my point is, they don't fight. The consistency of the organization is what they're walking around saying we're exceptional because we stay consistent. We only had three coaches in 40 years. Thomas has never had a losing season. But the thing is, there are people who would say Thomas should be fired, but the organization doesn't consider doing those things because the organization is caught up in we are consistent because they think consistency has gotten them six Super Bowls, when it's not the case. You had a great draft in 74, and that's what got you the first four. And since then, you've been the average organization with two Super Bowls in 40 years. And I'm a huge fan.
You think they were an average organization from 2001 to 2012 or so? They were average? You said they're an average organization since then. I agree with part of what you're saying. Hold on a second. I agree with parts of what you're saying. I think we're on the same page that the Steelers believe themselves to be exceptional when they haven't been for a long time. That to me is way different than saying they believe that they're doing the right thing in service of winning. There's another team in town here that doesn't try to win. This one does all the time. And Randy Fichtner, for as much as I didn't like Randy Fichtner, you were wrong about him too. Okay. First year with Fichtner, points per game, 26.8. I believe that was the most in Steelers history. I could be wrong. Haley might have eclipsed that. That was sixth in the NFL, 26.8. Then he had Duck Hodges, and then he came back in 2020 and averaged 26 points a game again. So at least get our facts straight if we're going to talk about coordinators.
But I think if you would just do the eye test with me over that time, we didn't feel like we were getting enough out of that team. And I don't know if it was defense or what it was, but I feel like that those teams didn't materialize like they should have. So I felt like it was the offense. You can feel differently. I mean, I'm just saying we get the numbers say differently, but I think when I look over that time, and my larger point
is
you're grabbing windows of time and making points, which is great because we all do that when we're debating.
And you're not?
But my point is.
You just said since 1970. Everybody grabs windows. So what's your point there?
Exactly right. My point is, overall, the organization has this mindset, I think it's been pressed into Tomlin, that we do things consistently. We don't make knee-jerk reactions
yes.
to things.
Yes.
And my smaller point is, I'll get back to bring it full circle. If they like him so much, then give him a new contract. Extend him. Isn't this the last year of Canada's deal?
Yes.
Then extend him. You know, they like to give a guy a contract before his last year. If you like him that much, extend him. And I don't like him that much, right?
Neither do I.
Now we can agree. We can leave happy. Because the thing is, if you want to get the most out of Pickens and Deontay, you got to get a guy who's getting people open. I used to watch the game and say, okay, is anybody open? Well, yeah, Deontay's open every time. And I watch the playoffs, and I'm seeing two and three guys running open. He's not scheming guys open. Deontay's getting open because he gets out of his break quicker than anybody in the NFL almost. So I just think Matt Canada needs to go, and we can debate on why they kept him, why they didn't keep him. But I would say if they really liked him, they'd extend him.
Well, maybe they will. It's not like they never keep a player till his final year that they like anyway.
I'm not arguing about the player.
Maybe they want to see Matt Canada have 1 year with the quarterback that he's going to have during the season in camp and not have it be Ben, where he had virtually no say in the offense. It was Ben's offense. So maybe they want to give Canada that 1 year. I don't know. I just believe that the Steelers want to win, and they think this is their best move. Is it the right move? I don't think so, and neither do you. But I refuse to believe that they would put a one-year, $1 million contract or whatever he's making, pittance in the NFL, over the desire to win. I gotta run. Appreciate the thoughts. That got a little heated, Harry, did it not?
It did.
We got to get our facts straight here, though, if we're going to argue on facts. But in the end, we agreed. 412-928-9370. What's the bar for the Steelers next season and for this offense? Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. That got pretty heated, Harry, did it not?
It did. It did.
That was unbelievable. And confirms my point that there are plenty of people out there who believe that the Steelers would prioritize avoiding a situation where they would have to pay somebody to not work over winning. 1 year of a puny little coordinator contract over winning football games. I just, for all the criticism that I'm willing to and have levied against the Steelers, one that I won't is attacking their desire to win. I fully believe that whatever they're doing, it's with winning first in mind. To their detriment, I think. I think this was a year to tank, honestly. I'm not saying don't try and win on the field, but maybe make some moves from, you know, upper management that would make that more difficult. The perfect year this season would have been to go 4-13, still beating the Raiders and Ravens. Two great comebacks for Pickett, an emotional win over the Raiders, and still go 4-13. That 7-2 stretch killed their draft position and also maybe clinched Matt Canada coming back. I mean, even if you're one of the biggest critics of Matt Canada, and I'm a critic of him, don't get me wrong, you have to admit that they got better, significantly better offensively. Now, they may have gone from historically horrific to just average or even a little below, but they still, the arrow was pointed up, certainly in the run game. They got better. The quarterback got better. Again, I use this sort of analogy all the time, but if I was an attorney making the case for Canada in front of Tomlin and Rooney and whoever else, there's points to be made. And there's points to be made against. And I still would have leaned hard toward not bringing the guy back. Don't get me wrong. But I just refuse to believe that his contract status played any role in that. Man, if it did, if I thought it did, if I thought the Steelers prioritized a puny little payout to their coordinator over winning, I would never root for them again. I would abandon them if I were a Steeler fan. If I thought that. I just don't think it's true. I believe what Jerry Dulac reported, which was there's just never been a thought, for better or worse, delusionally or not. Tomlin and Rooney think that Canada should be coming back. Period. Whether you like it or not.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.